our policy situation is quite a mess. Our economy has not been well managed. Our fiscal situation has been thoroughly mismanaged. Even our crime and law and order has been handled in a way that's less than ideal. But I've built and run sizable organizations. I know how to run a large organization, know how to build high-quality teams, all the things that we're going to need to have a highly effective governor.
A big concern for Southeast Alaska, especially when there's somebody from Anchorage running for statewide office, is what are you going to do to our ferry system? Do you understand the importance of the ferries to the region, and what would be your thought on maintaining that infrastructure for this region?
I do understand very well the importance. I mean, it's basically the equivalent of the road system in other parts of the state. And it's essential that that service be maintained and that it be affordable to Southeast residents. Now, I think there's ways to operate it more efficiently. I think there's ways to operate it at a lower cost that requires less of a subsidy from the state. You know, we're not going to be able to afford the things that we've afforded in the past, and so we're going to have to get smarter with how we manage.
You talked about a few of the main points that you would hope to highlight in your campaign. What are some of the others?
First of all, it's getting the economy moving. I am convinced we've got tremendous opportunities in this state. And I was talking to some of your business leaders in Ketchikan yesterday, and the opportunities here are just amazing. The second area of focus is, you know, the financial situation, the state's fiscal gap. Basically, what it boils down to is demonstrating to the public that we're making meaningful budget cuts. And I'm not talking about draconian cuts. I think it needs to be kind of steady, reasonable, intelligent cuts year after year over a multi-year period. Once that job is well underway, we need to kind of revamp how we manage the permanent fund and manage it more like a large foundation or a sovereign wealth fund, and take a stable amount of earnings out of that fund. And the answer is around 5% a year. Our permanent fund right now is at $61 billion. If we took 5% a year, that would result in over $3 billion in available revenue. If we dedicated, say, a third of that to the dividend program, that leaves $2 billion that is available to close the fiscal gap. Depending on the oil prices and all that, there might be still a very small gap left. It just depends on your assumptions. But what we would need from the budget reserve funds would be very small and sustainable and bridge us across to new oil production. There's been tremendous amount oil reserves discovered on the North Slope in the last 2 to 3 years. And that's a game changer.
Somebody who knew I was going to be interviewing you today wanted me to ask you about this, and it's actually is a really good question. So last year you worked with the Accountability Project.
I did.
And that helped fund some negative ad campaigning for Ketchikan's House District race, and there were a lot of local folks who didn't appreciate that, and it didn't work. And the Republican candidate said that the negative ad campaigning actually hurt his chances. What are your thoughts on that? And then is that a tactic you plan to use in your campaign?
Yeah, good question. Good question. And I'm happy to field it. So looking at that campaign, it was absolutely the right race to be in. It was an important race. Whether or not it was winnable at that point in time, I'm not sure. But our messaging and what we were putting out there in terms of facts and the positions that we were pointing out were spot on. We did about four mailings. Two of them were spot on. You know, they were pitch perfect. Two of them were a little too cute, and I take responsibility for that. In politics, I've been running independent expenditure campaigns in legislative races now for about four election cycles, and we've won a lot more than we lost. But sometimes you make mistakes. In politics, what you have to do is you have to cut through the clutter. And you have to get people's attention. You have to draw attention to your mailer. And we were thinking that people would take it humorously and still get the point. Well, what I learned is that in small towns, even if somebody disagrees with your politics, they oftentimes don't want to see you, you know, feel like you're being picked on. And so, important lesson for me in terms of smaller communities. Now, that campaign would not have been controversial in other parts of Alaska, for example, in other parts of the U.S. But in smaller communities where you have those personal relationships, it's lesson learned.
Okay, so no plans to repeat that?
No, my campaign is really going to be about optimism. It's going to be upbeat. The other people that are in the race, the ones so far, and even some of them that are kind of contemplating it, they're good guys. I mean, there's not a single one that's in the race or thinking about entering that I would want to say anything bad about.
Not even the incumbent?
Well, now I'm talking about the Republican primary.
Okay.
I've got some criticisms of the incumbent. You know, the governor's is an affable fellow. He's a likable fellow. Unfortunately, the policies are wrong. If the policy mix was right, I wouldn't spend the time and treasure to run.
And what are your thoughts on his decision to expand Medicaid?
Irresponsible. And we're just beginning to see the budget impacts of that.
So you would roll that back?
I would not have done it in the first place. Rolling it back's a little harder because now we have, you know, tens of thousands of people that depend on it. I think there's some things we could do to bring the cost down, but to actually roll it back needs to come at the federal level. And I'll confess to you, I'm sorely disappointed in our senior senator for being a roadblock. I mean, she could have repealed Obamacare. She was the one vote that could have repealed Obamacare and then put the Republicans in a good bargaining position to sit down with the Democrats and come up with a better plan that's not bankrupting the state's exchanges and not horrifically driving up insurance costs for the private sector.